Stories about the bright side of education.
Somos Sunnyside.
Hello and welcome to Somos Sunnyside. I'm your host, Jose Castellano. I'm the proud superintendent of the Sunnyside Unified School District here. And so joining me today are two amazing individuals who have dedicated their careers to Sunnyside. And, you know, we're going to shift around from topic to topic. And so let's give them a big welcome and let's have them introduce themselves. My first guest here is Mary Acosta. Mary Acosta is a retired music teacher, and for the last several years of her career was the district music coordinator and dedicated 44 years to the Sunnyside Unified School District. So I'm going to have her speak and introduce herself a little bit and tell us a little bit about what she did and what some of her passions were as she served the district. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Mr. Gastelum. It's a real pleasure to be here. As Jose just said, I spent 44 years here in Sunnyside School District, retiring last May. Most of my career, I taught band and orchestra and elementary and middle school music. And the last few years, I was also the district music coordinator, and I helped with the arts. The fine arts, the art program, helping to coordinate some of their activities. Sunnyside is a very unique district in that we totally support the arts for our students. Over the years, there were many districts that dropped music and art programs, and in the 44 years I was here, we never dropped music or art programs. And we need to keep continuing them. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that excellent introduction. And thank you for the 44 years. You know, when I think of 44 years, it just wows me, you know, in terms of how many students you served, how many colleagues, how many other teachers and all the schools you worked with. And so that's touching many, many lives. And as you mentioned, the fine arts are important to Sunnyside. You know, I mean, when you talk about music, dance, the arts, we've had some amazing, amazing students that have accomplished a lot, and also some of them that have gone on to make a career of it. So, you know, we want to definitely continue to provide those learning experience and opportunities for our students in those areas. My next guest is Mr. Townsend. Mr. Townsend was formerly the principal at Elvira for the last 10 years and has now shifted roles into executive director of student services. So Mr. Townsend, tell us a little bit about, you know, give us a brief introduction. Tell us a little bit about your role and your shifts as you've left the world of Elvira and now serving the world of the entire Sunnyside Unified School District.
Well, thank you, Mr. Gastelum. I appreciate the chance to join this chat here today. I've been in Sunnyside District since 2006. I came as a teacher and fell in love with Elvira right off the bat. At that time, Mr. Hubbard was the principal and really just dove in, you know, in terms of teaching, coaching. We had, you know, a lot of year-round, actually, after-school sports. So really had a chance to get to know a lot of kids, even beyond the kids in my classroom, and, you know, really loved that period of time. And after the fifth year ended up down the street, I wasn't ready to leave the Elvira community at that time. And there was an opening at Challenger Middle School as an assistant principal. So I felt like I could still stay in that neighborhood, which I did, and learned a lot down at Challenger and, you know, had the chance to work with kids at that time from Santa Clara Summit. Was able to continue with sports because at that time, not only as assistant principal, I was able to do the athletic director duties. So, you know, we had a lot of good teams over those years. And of course, we had band, we had orchestra, we had, you know, extracurricular clubs and groups, we had dance groups. So, I mean, those things I was always very involved in. You know, I always took pride that I would be there basically every evening for anything that we did. So over the years, I felt like, you know, at the elementary level and at the middle school level, those were some of the most memorable things, not just for the kids, you know, the joy that they get and, you know, the growth that they have from those connections, truthfully. I mean, middle school, especially if the kids are part of clubs or teams, it really makes the difference for them, you know, not only helping them, you know, stay eligible, stay enthusiastic, stay motivated. But it was fun for me as well. And I think that was true for a lot of the families and community members. And then in 2013, had the chance to go back to Elvira as principal and loved every minute of it, you know, loved the 10 years and loved, you know, the goals that we set and the things that we did together with families, the community, the staff. You know, we did a lot of things there that I'll always feel really proud of. And once again, you know, a lot of those connections, when I think back to some of the goals that we achieved, really were directly tied to the things that we were able to provide for the kids beyond the classrooms. You know, I mean, of course, the classrooms are what the kids are at school every day for. But really, let's face it, you know, I mean, as much as a kid might love, you know, the grammar lessons and whatnot, they're probably a little bit more excited about, you know, their orchestra or their band or their team that they're a part of, or some of the after school clubs we had. There's a gentleman still there to this day, Mr. Cadera, and really the entire Elvira staff that has gone so far above and beyond with different clubs and groups, and that's what the kids love. So those are the things that, you know, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about. And, you know, with Mary here next to me, it's fun listening to, I think you had said 43 years, 44 years, sorry. You know, I had the chance to work with Mary during some of that time. Mary was at Elvira during some of those years, and I got to witness firsthand, you know, how fortunate we were. Carl McCurry, who in my mind is similar to Mary in terms of roots and, you know, the amount of time that they've dedicated, you know, Carl with band. So, yeah, I'm thrilled to be in this conversation. There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, there sure is. You know, I mean, I want to go back to our title, because when I think of Somos Sunnyside, obviously that translates to We Are Sunnyside. And so, you know, you see that throughout the district, you know, a lot of pride in terms of serving this community and a lot of pride in serving our students. I'm very fortunate to be, you know, homegrown here, attending school here, and went to Mission Manor, went to Chaparral, graduated from Sunnyside High School, and I felt like I've never left the district. And so, and I say that because, you know, you don't have to be from Sunnyside or graduate from Sunnyside to feel a part of this community. And I think both of you are individuals that came into Sunnyside and embraced this community. And, you know, it's the passion you have for students, the passion you have for the experience is remarkable. And so, you know, it leads me to, you know, our graduate profile and our mission and our vision statements, and that's really developing our students with a strong sense of identity, purpose, and agency, right? We want them to leave our system and have that pre-K-12 experience as students so that they can achieve those endeavors they have as they move on from their school experience. And so, you know, we want that to be evidenced by their experiences. And so, you know, it's having opportunities, as you both mentioned. I mean, you know, I think growing up, I always tell myself, if it wasn't for sports, I don't know if I would have been successful in school. And so we have to continue to allow our students to have choices, because I do believe in this piece of school connectedness. I think kids come to school for a certain reason. And for some of them, it's the arts, the music, the dance, the athletics, that special teacher, that special classroom, that special learning experience, right? Of feeling valued, feeling like, you know, the adults believe in them. And that's what brings them to school every day. And so, you know, needless to say, these programs come with the cost, right? And so, you know, every year I feel like we're balancing budgets to continue to provide these opportunities for our students. And I think Ms. Acosta hit it right on the nose when she said, in the 44 years that I've been here, music has never been cut. These opportunities to students have never been cut. They've been mentioned, right? I mean, several times. It's been mentioned in many other you know, opportunities such as athletics and other arts and other programs have been mentioned, but we always try to keep those cuts away from the student experience. And so, you know, as you all know, you know, we're right now, the district is attempting to pass an override. Right now we have Proposition 498, Proposition 499. 498 is a maintenance and operation override that, you know, I think of people and programs, right? Those are, we want to continue to maintain, you know, those important pieces and positions of school safety, critical positions that support academic growth, you know, those critical opportunities for students, as we mentioned here, music, art, dance, and athletic programs. And we have to stay competitive with salaries. And so, you know, that's something we're attempting. And you know, we're also attempting a 7% DAA, District Additional Assistance, override, and that pays for facilities and equipment. So, you know, we got to have attractive equipments, or facilities, I should say. I'm sorry. We got to have attractive athletic and fine arts facilities, you know, because it is competitive. Other schools are offering, and parents and students have more choice than they've ever had. So, you know, I just want to talk a little bit about the buzz out there in terms of the override. I mean, obviously, we were very mindful of keeping it away from the pockets of our community. You know, individuals do have to pay more taxes to have these things pass successfully and to generate the funds needed. But, you know, the 8% and 7% equal to about $21 and change for an owner of a average home of $100,000. And so obviously the higher the home value, the higher the tax rate, right? But, you know, we gotta, I hope individuals understand that you have to invest in your community if you want better communities and you want better schools and if we want better outcomes for our students. So what are your thoughts on the buzz? What have you heard? What's out there?
Well, I have not heard a lot, but I can tell you that the people that I have talked to, they get it. They understand that having programs and athletics and good facilities is important for our students. It's something that you can't have a band without instruments. You can't have a band without a teacher. You can't have a football team without a coach. And so all these things go together. And it's not nice to have a football game without a marching band there. So, you know, one thing that I have loved about the Sunnyside community all these years is that the community gets it. They want this for their students. The parents, the grandparents, the TIAs, the TOs that are here, they've participated in these activities. They know how important it was to them, just as Mr. Gastelum said. And they know that this is going to be important for their children and their grandchildren and their nephews and their nieces and their neighbors. And even we have a lot of people in the community, I know because I've walked the streets, that don't have children in the district anymore. And sometimes the question says, well, I don't have kids. Why should I pay for this? And it's like the kids next door are going to benefit from it. They're going to become better humans, better taxpayers, better community members by having a well-rounded education and growing up. And so it's important. The community has always supported it, but things are getting expensive. It's time to add a little more in order to keep supporting.
Well, Mary, you brought up something that is kind of a joke that I had during my younger years back, you know, when I was teaching and coaching. You know, I got to know those kids and have stayed connected with them and their families over the years. And I can speak now to some students that I had around 2009 and 10 that were, you know, amazing kids. I had coached them on teams, and we used to talk a lot about, you know, what are you going to do when you get older? You know, a lot of kids want to be professional athletes, but some of those kids would say, you know, I want to, you know, be a nurse, or I want to be a doctor. And I used to joke with some of those kids, you know, well, I hope you will be, because I'm going to need some help. You know, back then I would say I'm going to need some help in about 20 years. Well, sure enough, you know, those kids, I can say right now, a couple of them are nurses. They're in their, you know, 23, 24 years old. They finished college. And when I think about, you know, what you mentioned about some of the community members who maybe are concerned that, you know, their kids have, you know, gone past the schools, they don't have, you know, that connection anymore. Well, we all need, you know, our generation of kids right now to be successful, because let's face it, they are going to be taking care of us. I think I've got at least maybe another 15 or 20 years till I'm going to need that help. But we're all going to need, you know, our kids to be successful for, you know, for the good of the whole community. The other thing that I think a lot about is Mr. Gastelum referenced opportunities, and that's something that I've always been really passionate about. You know, when we look across districts throughout the Pima County or even statewide or nationwide, one thing that I think a lot about that's been inspirational for me for many years is talent is everywhere, but opportunities are not. And, you know, that's something that, you know, to me is very motivating, because when we look at Sunnyside District and we think about our kids, they are filled with talent, whether it be academic talent that they can go on to any profession that they, you know, they set their heart and mind to, athletic talents, musical talents, artistic talents. I mean, gosh, the girl that gave the speech up there at Sunnyside High School, I mean, I don't think there was a dry eye in the stadium. I mean, you look at that, you look at that and you say, you know what, these kids are at the level or higher of any kid that you could find anywhere. There is talent throughout Sunnyside District, and it's our responsibility to make sure that they have opportunities. And when I think about, you know, the families that I've known over the years, they would give the shirt off their back for anyone. And that's what I fell in love with at Elvira in 2006, is I learned that those families are all about doing whatever they can do to help the community, help the school, help the everyone that comes to their door. I've been invited into so many homes, sit down, have a meal. And that's the spirit that I love. You know, that's the spirit where I do believe that there is a really positive buzz right now, because I think it's become well known that the schools need the support of the communities. And I think that our community is energized for that.
Yeah, well said, Mr. Townsend. And you know, I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying. You know, I mean, we, you know, unfortunately, you know, the state funding's not appropriate. You know, the state funding's not appropriate for what we need to run our school districts. And you know, we were fortunate, unfortunate and fortunate, right? Because unfortunately, we it took a pandemic to get some funding, some appropriate funding, and we got those through COVID relief funds, which we call ESSER funding. And so there was no need for us to attempt or ask for an override and ask the community and taxpayers for an override, right? Because for the last 3 years, we've had these funds and we've been able to bulk up our support, you know, when it comes to at schools with different positions, you know, making sure that we have full-time counselors, making sure we have full-time librarians and other positions, you know, security staff that's you know, there's enough security for the entire district, just to name a few. And so, you know, the state funding, as I mentioned, is and you hear different things, you know, around the state that they passed $300 million, but how much does Sunnyside really get of the $300 million, right? And I can tell you right now, we got like $3.1 million, which doesn't even pay for our minimum wage and compression. And so these ESSER funds will expire September of 2024. And, you know, the community and the voices of the community have asked us to go for this override, and our board has supported it. And so we're in the middle of an election, and, you know, obviously want to keep everything factual here. But, you know, I think last year, with the monies that we did receive in terms of ESSER and the monies we got from the state, any extra monies, we always want to make sure that goes back into the hands of our employees. And I say this confidently, I think last year we did an excellent job. The team did an excellent job of right-sizing all of our salary schedules. I want people to know that. I want people to look it up online, because now we're competitive, you know, from classified to certified, to PNTs, to administrators, we have right-sized our salary schedules. And our starting pay now, it went from about $40,000 last year. It's now up to about $47,000, not including some of the additional funds that you're eligible for, right, as teachers. So some teachers in their first year can make over $51,000, and they deserve that, right? They deserve more than that. And so, you know, it's and I say this because we want to remain competitive, and we want to make sure we're paying our employees what they deserve to be paid. And so we want to be able to retain them. But, you know, going back to student experiences, you know, I want to highlight a couple students, and you know, being a former high school principal, the high schools get a lot of the accolades, get a lot of the credits for the graduates, right? Because we see them off on graduation night, and then we get to hear and take credit for all the scholarships they received, but we know that it starts at pre-K to elementary to middle to high school. It's those experiences that they have each year throughout their public school experience. And so, you know, I want individuals to feel that they're a part of that. They're a part of that success. Whether you had this student as a kindergartner, whether you had this student as a sixth grader, ninth grader, you know, every teacher plays a part in the success of our students. And Mr. Townsend alluded earlier to Hakima Abdul Qadir, who did an amazing speech, you know, on graduation night. And I think, you know, her message was just powerful, you know, in terms of her experience and in terms of her message to the community. I think one of the most impressive things, and I bring this up often, is she spoke from the heart. She didn't have a script in front of her. She memorized what she wanted to say, and she said it passionately. And so, you know, those are the types of students that Sunnyside District is producing because of the experiences they're having. And so, you know, I always say that our kids can compete with anyone in this nation. You know, what bothers me a lot is when I see that our kids, when they doubt themselves, when they have that self-doubt. You know, earlier in the year, you know, we talked about imposter syndrome, and I think some of our students suffer from that, you know, because they've grown up in this bubble of our beautiful Sunnyside community, and when it's time for them to go outside of that bubble and go on to college, it's a little bit of a shock for them. And you know, another graduate that we had speak on opening day is Yedain Gonzalez. And so Yedain is at Duke University. She's a Gates Millennium Scholar, full ride scholarship, you know. Young girl here from the south side of Tucson, you know, out there exploring college at Duke University, and you know, just being a Gates Millennium Scholar, I mean, that's probably less than a few percent of students that receive that type of scholarship. And she's just one of many. We've had Dow Scholars, Flynn Scholars, just amazing individuals. When I look at the evidence, you know, I try to look at, you know, there's a picture of a young lady, and she's in a folklorico outfit that we have in one of our presentations. She's in a folklorico outfit. She has a lab coat on because she's a bioscience student at Sunnyside High School, right? So it just shows that you can get involved in extracurricular activities, but still have that academic goal as well. And she's in the academy at Sunnyside, the Medical Allied Health Academy. And, you know, that's that when we want our, when our students graduate, it should be evidenced by three things. One, it should be evidenced by them taking rigorous courses, whether that be dual enrollment courses or AP courses. It should be evidenced by industry certifications. Were they in an academy where they earned a certification? Did they complete a CTE sequence? And then by work experience or internships, right? And I think the power behind that is when they move on to college, they have a clear picture of what they want to accomplish. They're not wasting any time. They're not going to college and changing their major three times like I probably did, right? And lose semesters or a year. They're getting the right kind of experiences. So, you know, so there's a lot going on. I wanna you know, give you guys a last chance as we wrap up here to give your final thoughts. And so I'll pass it on to you guys for some final comments.
Well, I just have to laugh at something that Mr. Townsend said a few minutes ago, because recently I went to a pain clinic. I was having some severe pain, and it turned out that the owner and doctor that has established this pain clinic was one of my baritone students in fifth grade. And so it excited me to no end to see, you know, that he has become a successful member of our community. And with the number of years I've been here, I see that all the time. And I think Sunnyside just is doing the right thing. We need to keep doing what we're doing, and we need to support being able to do that.
Well said.
Mary, I'm going to need to get that that name and address from you. So the last thing that I would like to share, you know, and I know that this conversation has been fun. You know, we've got a chance to kind of go down memory lane and kind of, you know, I felt inspired listening to some of the things that both of you shared. But I am really excited for the weeks and months ahead. I do have a lot of confidence that our community has always supported our students and our schools. And, you know, I never see that changing. You know, we've had overrides in the past that have come up short. But I think this time, I think that, you know, the information has gotten out there. I don't think there's very many people in our community that don't know that Sunnyside is looking for, you know, community support for Proposition 498 and Proposition 499. And I think that, you know, the community feeling right now is that they know that the money is going to go to things that the kids in the schools need. Just like when the bond got passed in 2012, $88 million, you can drive around Sunnyside District and you can see it. You can see it in facilities. You can see it on, you know, safety improvements. You know, we look at some of the things that have happened each and every year with school tragedies. And, you know, those things force you to take a closer look at the schools. I mean, last May, Uvalde, you know, there's not a person I know that wasn't just devastated and shaken by that. And when that happened, we took another good look at all of our schools and the security that we need. And there's even more that we can and should do, you know, and we need money for those things. So I do believe that our community is ready to support the kids and the schools, and I'm excited for the months ahead.
So I just want to finish with some final thoughts here. First of all, I want to thank you both for your time and for your thoughts and for your dedication and passion that you have served this district all these years. You know, Ms. Acosta, 44 years is just amazing. I got 26 years in, and I don't know if I can make 44, but you know, I'm gonna work hard to get up there. And Mr. Townsend, you know, shifting from being a principal at Elvira for the last 10 years now, serving the district in a different capacity. You know, we're excited to have you on the team, and you know, I wanna take a quick moment. Really to thank all our employees out there, right? Our classified staff, that they do a lot of work that goes unnoticed, you know, from our bus drivers to our employees working in the cafeterias to our custodians cleaning the schools. You know, as I've gone around these first few weeks of school, I see a big sense of pride, and I see a lot of pride in our schools and you know, our amazing students. You know, it's all about them. You know, when we talk about override, it's to provide our students and our staff with what they need. You know, it all goes back to them. And so, you know, we need to continue to serve them at the highest levels. Our amazing teachers that are in the trenches every day and you know, educating our children pre-K through 12, you know, a big thank you goes out to them as well, because we know it's just not the instruction. You know, they treat our kids, their kids, like their very own, and there's other things that they do. You know, some days they're playing mom and dad, some days they're playing nurse, some days they're, you know, doing, you know, other roles. And so we want to thank our teachers for all they do, and you know, our support staffs, our counselors, you know, our PCAs, our psychologists, our you know, our SPED resource teachers, and I know I'm going to forget to name a few, but you know, it definitely takes a village, and everyone in the organization matters. And I love hearing the stories, as Ms. Acosta pointed out, of you know, working with a doctor who's a former Sunnyside graduate. I mean, it just really brings a big smile to my face, because every time, you know, in the different roles that I've had in the district, from being a teacher to a principal and now a superintendent, you know, it's a great feeling to run into former students in the community, and the first thing they want to tell you is how well they're doing, and they thank you, right? They thank you because you were a special person in their lives that helped shape who they are today. And so, you know, it leaves me with this last thought of, you know, our mission and vision statement here. You know, we want every graduate to graduate college, career, community ready. And I think that's the sweet spot there, is that as our students leave us, they are so eager to give back to the community, because, you know, they realize that this community has served them well for so many years, and they want to return that favor. And so this wraps up Somos Sunnyside, and we hope to bring you many, many more, and hope to tackle different topics and have different guests here. So I just want to say thank you both for joining me, and look forward to the next one.